Welcome to the Tipping Point Show. I'm Jimmy Evans. Today's show is about the total solar eclipse that will occur over the United States on Monday, April 8th. It is the second total solar eclipse across the United States in 7 years, and the two eclipses will mark an X over the country. This is a very rare and ominous event, and I have joining me on the show today the author of a new book about the two eclipses, A.C. Katz. A.C. is an amateur astronomer and has written an article, Signs in the Heavens Over America, in this month's edition of Prophecy Watchers magazine. A.C. has done an incredible amount of research about the eclipses, and she's joining me on the show today to share her thoughts from her book, The Great American Writing on the Wall. A.C., thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to meet you.
It's great to meet you, too. And you've written this book, The Great American Writing on the Wall, Total Solar Eclipse of 2017 and 2024, the annual eclipse of 2023. Now, let me tell you, this is just for anyone interested. I really encourage you. A lot of people are interested in the eclipses that have already happened, plus the one that's just about to happen on April the 8th. There's not a more informative book than this one right here. And you've done such a, you're an amateur astronomer, and so you have a great interest in this, but you've done so much research here. What does the Bible say, AC, just starting out, what does the Bible say about us looking for signs in the heavens? Is it appropriate for Christians to be looking to the sun, moon, stars for information or signs?
And we have an example with the Magi, of course. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy, and it led them to the Messiah. And even Jesus tells us, he tells us where we can look. He warns us and tells us in Luke 21:11, there will be great earthquakes along with famines, epidemics in various places, and there will be terrors along with great signs from heaven. Right. We also have a very important one, and that is Genesis 1:14. And God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs, le'ot, and for seasons, the mo'adim, and days and years. And he called it good. There's a definite distinction between the two. The mo'adim would be for the Jewish feasts and solemn assemblies. And we've seen a lot of work done on that. And so I'm focusing more on le'ot, the signs. And they're a signal, a flag, a beacon, omen, evidence, mark, miracle, promised by prophets as pledges of certain predicted events. So there we have it right there, that God tells us why he designed the heavens, and it's for signs also. Also, we have Psalm 19, 1 and 2, and it says, the heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech, night after night they reveal knowledge. Well, who are they speaking to, and who are the recipients of that knowledge? Well, it's us. Yeah. So we have permission to look in the heavens. We know that's the very format that God created for us to view signs.
Yeah. Well, you talked about the Magi. You know, they found Jesus through a star.
And, absolutely.
And everyone could see the same star. You know, the same star that they followed, anybody else could look up and see it, but they just weren't watching.
Exactly.
And so exactly. I know that a lot of people, there's a confusion between astrology and astronomy. Okay, so you're not talking about astrology. You're talking about astronomy.
Not at all. Not at all. As we can see, God has already ordained the heavens for the very format that we can look. But astronomy, yes, that's God called it good. And it isn't interesting how the devil likes to pervert everything that God calls good. And that's what he did with astrology. A lot of times you have Jupiter, and that was the Greek god Zeus, right? And then Venus, the Roman goddess of love. You know, you give them personalities, and it's just a perverted worshiping them, making sacrifices to them. There are many different ways that people are involved in astrology, but that's not what we're looking at. We're looking at the wonderful signs in the heavens that God created for us in his creation, the heavens and sun and moon and stars.
Well, Jesus said in Luke 21 that you just read concerning the end times, there'll mm-hmm. be signs in the mm-hmm. sun, moon, and stars. Well, signs point to stuff. You know,
mm-hmm. so, yes, absolutely.
Like when you're on the highway and you see a sign that says, you know, Albuquerque, 100 miles, is pointing right. you to the fact that you're getting close. So these signs that we're seeing, and there have been other signs astronomically, the Revelation 12 sign that happened in 2017, which you talk about in your book, Unbelievable sign there. But this is not the only sign, but these two, actually there's three eclipses we're going to talk about, but this is a major, major sign of something happening to America. Do you believe that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And interestingly, the 2017 eclipse was exclusively over the United States. And that's rare. Most of the time, eclipses occur over the ocean, or they partially come over the U.S. But for it to occur just on the United States and go across 14 contiguous states is rare. Eclipses in themselves are not necessarily rare, you know, but for them to, before the August 27th, the last eclipse visible from coast to coast was almost 100 years earlier on June 8th, 1918, but it wasn't exclusive to our nation. The one that was exclusive last time was January 11th, 1880, a total solar eclipse occurred exclusively over the continental U.S. So for this, this is quite rare. And then to have the 2024, another total solar eclipse across the United States is just unprecedented. So
the Jews, and you talk about this in your book,
mm-hmm.
they believe that a lunar eclipse is a sign to the Jews.
Right.
And a solar eclipse is assigned to the Gentiles.
Okay. Yes, mostly based on the calendar. They were given a lunar calendar, and so they right. They do their Jewish feast based on that. So, yes.
And so in 2017, in other words, if God is trying to send a sign to America, he's using, in this case, the sun and the moon to do it through the eclipses that are happening.
Well, when you look at the pattern of the eclipse, yes. And when you look at some of the locations, whether people care to believe that the locations mean anything or not, that's entirely up to them. But as you will see, there are quite so many instances where there were locations covered and events took place. I don't necessarily want to predict things from the locations, but it's just far more than coincidence. And I think I was extremely skeptical going into this, very skeptical. But when you see these things taking place, we have to understand that the Lord sees a sparrow fall. If you don't think that he knows locations and he controls the orbital mechanics of the sun, moon, and stars, we don't. So if we just look at the path of totality, and that's really what I would like to focus on, and I'll explain what the path of totality is so that people understand why we really should focus on that. Because if we don't, we go off into the other areas, and we can just pick and choose whatever we want and kind of make whatever story we want out of it. So I'll explain the path of totality. Excuse me. It's the shadow cast on the earth when the moon goes in between the earth and the sun, and it draws a very narrow corridor over the United States as it did. And that's called the umbral shadow. It gets 100% dark there. You see 100% totality as the disk covers the sun completely. Everyone within that pathway will see 100% totality. Outside of that, you don't. You see it in very varying degrees in crescents as you go out. Now there's a difference. And now that has to occur in what is called perigee, as the moon is orbiting around the earth. When it is closest to us, that is perigee. And that when it appears from Earth, it appears at its largest, whereas when it's an apogee, it's further away. So it must happen in perigee to get that total solar eclipse. Interestingly, the sun is 400 times larger, and yet it is 400 times further away. So
wow.
An eclipse is meant to be viewed from Earth, and nowhere else does that occur anywhere else
wow.
in the solar system. So many things have to line up, and including the, it just so happens that the moon is at a 5.1% tilt of the Earth's orbital plane. And so it's kind of like a gyroscope. As it goes around, it has to hit this certain section, and it's called the node, right, to line up with the sun. And it doesn't always do that. And when it does, it can still be, you know, a total solar eclipse, but out in the ocean. So many things have to line up for this to occur. And then for it to draw this X across the United States is just amazing. You see how God is in control. Also, I should mention the annular, what an annular eclipse is, because that's what the October 2023 eclipse is. And this is why I didn't quite, some people said that I missed the Aleph. And I didn't miss the Aleph. I did see it. If somebody, if you want to see, it's there. It's there. But I just want people to understand that it is different. And an annular eclipse is when the moon is in a different type of orbit. It's an apogee, where it is furthest from the Earth. So when it traverses in between the Earth and the sun, it's further away, so it appears smaller, and it doesn't cover, it's not a total coverage of the sun's disk. So you do see the ring of fire, but it grows dim where you are in the path, but it doesn't grow dark. And it's not called the path of totality, it's called the path of annularity. So it's kind of like if you're gonna draw an initial using a Sharpie and then a piece of chalk, and then a Sharpie. So again, people do want to see it's an Aleph, that's all right. But I just want them to understand the difference. And that's why I was focusing on the two total solar eclipses, because those are extremely rare.
And we're going to put that up on the screen. The Aleph you're talking about, that's a Hebrew letter. And so the three eclipses make an Aleph.
Yes, they do.
The X plus the 2023. And so, and I think that's very significant, AC. You know, I mean,
yes.
but even the X by itself is significant as it relates to the Hebrew.
Right. Yeah. One thing I was covering before about the Aleph is, yes, it makes the Aleph, but even if you're just focusing on the 2017 and the 2024 eclipse, because they are both total solar eclipses and 7 years apart, the 2017 eclipse does cover a location called Alpha, which is just Aleph in Greek.
Wow.
And the 2024 covers actually two locations, Omega, which is two Tavs. So so Alpha or Aleph and the Tav are covered in both of those total solar eclipses.
Wow.
But whatever way you want to look at it, it's there and it's quite amazing.
Okay, talk about the 2017 eclipse. Talk about some of the places that it went over, because I think it's very significant. You're not hyping this up. You're just looking at, you know, the path of totality in 2017. We're going to talk about 2024 here in just a minute, but talk about some of the places it went over.
Well, there are so many. Actually, in the 2017 eclipse, I've actually recorded 177 locations with, I think I have eight color maps in there, and they're pinpointed locations. Also descriptions and how they apply to scripture, many scriptures throughout the book, which is what's important, because I want people to, you know, read their Bible and find those scriptures. That's what it's all about. That's the number one book, but it really points you towards that and everything that's taking place. And many of these locations and events are spoken of in the Bible. But in the 2017 total solar eclipse, actually, I have to be honest, when I was first looking at this, I had heard, I did this research in 2019, and I kind of wrote my own little book and had it on my desk since then, but I was pretty naive as to how to publish a book and whether anyone would be interested. But my goal was to find out if these locations that I was hearing about and seeing in maps were indeed true or kind of hyped, you know, I didn't know. But so I did, having seen the map of Seven Salems, I wanted to check and see if there were indeed Seven Salems. And I'm sorry, I don't want to disappoint people, but the map that's going around, there's no Salem, Wyoming in the path. And Salem, Missouri does exist, but it's not in the path of totality. And if people find other ones, I would be just as excited as them to see those. But really, it's mostly Oregon, Idaho, Kentucky, Nebraska, and I think South Carolina, I have it marked down. But and it's in the book. But while doing that, I found so much more. I was stunned to see that at the beginning of the 2017 eclipse, and I see it as a seven-year period, you have this whole eclipse across. At the very beginning of the 2017 eclipse, you see the city of Donald. And I thought, Donald, that's, you know, everybody knows who Donald is, especially back in 2017, right? There was only the Donald. Well, he just so happened to become the president of the United States at that time. He was 70 years old. It was 70 years from the UN decree to reestablish Israel. Wow. The city of Donald is actually part of the Salem Metropolitan Statistical Area. And we know that Salem is another name for Jerusalem, right. Jerusalem. And then December 6, 2017, he announced that something no previous president officially declared while in office, and that is Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. And he opened the U.S. embassy there in May 2018. So there you have a location. It's just there. You can't be denied. The eclipse crossed it, and these events took place. You can't ignore that. But if people want to call it coincidence and don't think it means anything, that's up to them. That's all right. But then we move on to McCain-Garb, which was another location just a little bit further. Look like, you know, if you're going to stretch it out over a 7-year period. And then Senator McCain passed away. There are so many other locations. I can't go through all of them. But there's a grouping of Salem, Shiloh, and Fair Dealing. Very interesting, because on September 15th, 2020, the signing ceremony for the Abraham Accords by Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, occurred on September 15th, 2020. And that's Salem, Shiloh, and Fair Dealing. And that's pretty amazing if you delve into that further. I'll mention some others, and then we can move on to the crossover point. There is a location, as you get further towards the middle of the 2017 eclipse, and that's St. Joe. Now, it didn't say St. Joseph or Josephine or anything. It's just St. Joe. Now, some people may say this is a stretch, and that's fine. But you have Joe and Saint, and Joe Biden became the president in 2021, and he's also Catholic. So, okay, maybe it's a stretch. But it's right next to Washington Defiance together, which had January 6, 2021. So I know it. You can say it's a stretch, but it's there. I didn't make it up. So we'll go on to the crosshairs of the 2017 and 2024 eclipse. Now, there's a crossover point. But what I'm going to focus on is you have the path of totality, right? Where everyone in that path, in the umbral shadow, sees 100% of the eclipse. Just as it moves away from the center of that umbral shadow, the duration is going to be shorter. So what I was looking for was the location that was right on the crosshairs and the longest duration. And what I found, the closest town in the crosshairs on the exact astronomical map is Maconda, and that's Maconda, Illinois. Now, I know some people say it's Carbondale, and Carbondale is a large city. It is still within the path of totality, but it isn't in the depth of the umbral shadow as Maconda is. And interestingly, the word Maconda in African origin means woman of strength, and in Sanskrit origin, which is an ancient language of India, is woman of power. And Kamala Harris has long identified as both Black and East Indian. And at that point, right about that 2021, that's when she became the Vice President of the United States. So not only is she the second African-American woman and the first South Asian-American senator in history, but she is presently the Vice President of the USA, and she is the most powerful woman. And again, with Donald Trump and Kamala, it doesn't matter whether you like them or dislike them. You know, that has nothing to do with it. These are just the facts. So, and what I found also interesting was with Maconda, I wanted to find out, well, okay, what else is special about Maconda? And I found out that the Black Vulture Festival occurs there, the annual Black Vulture Festival. And that was really interesting to me because, you know, they gather there. And if we look to Jesus, and what he was saying was he was pointing out towards the end the spiritual decay and spiritual deception that would be taking place. In Matthew 24:28, he says, just as the gathering of vultures shows a carcass is nearby, so these signs indicate the end is near. So, you know, has America become a carcass? Well, personally, I think it has. I think it's a carcass. The vultures are circling above, waiting to swoop down. That's how I see it. And as we know, with a black vulture, it says in Leviticus 11:13, "And these you shall regard as an abomination among the birds. They shall not be eaten. They are the abomination, the eagle, the bearded vulture, and the black vulture." And the eagle it's speaking of is not the American bald eagle. It's a type of vulture. But the black vulture. And then, of course, in Revelation 8:2, "Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird." So I think it's something that we need to take a look at. And the black vultures haven't been migrating there for very long. I think maybe it's 20 years. I could be wrong about that. But the point is they are gathering there. And to me, we're a carcass. Sorry, but that may not make people very happy. But then also within that area is Giant City State Park, right there in the crossovers. Where have we heard of giants before? Well, Genesis 6, right? And again, Giant City State Park was named for its unique impressions. It looks like it was inhabited by Nephilim and giants, thousands of years ago. But when did we hear about giants? Jesus said in Matthew 24, as it was in the days of Noah.
That's right.
And the days of Noah were not really a party time. I know a lot of people say, it was business as usual and they were being given in marriage. It wasn't the type of marriages that we have going on, nice receptions with big tall cakes and white gowns and throwing bouquets all over the place. It was entirely different. And if people want to look back on Genesis 6 and find out what was taking place at the time, in Genesis 6:4, there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God, B'nai HaElohim, came unto the daughters of the men, B'not HaAdam is the word that was used in Hebrew. So you can see it's daughters of men, but B'nai HaElohim is spoken in Job 38:7, and at that time he was talking of the sons of God. That was before Adam was ever created. So it's not the sons of Seth when he speaks of B'nai HaElohim here. "Came in unto the daughters of men, and they bore children unto them, and the same became mighty men who were of old, men of renown." So it's speaking of the Nephilim and the giants there. Now, this is not an area that I'm an expert in. I do go into it a bit in the book, but there are those out there who've done quite a bit of work on that. And I know L.A. Marzulli, Gary Stearman, I think it's Tim Chaffee, but there are a lot of books out there. So again, I'm not the expert on that, but there are people who are interested in that, recommend.
There are many people, AC, and like you said, L.A. Marzulli and others that have talked about that. Mm-hmm. And I had Billy Crone on the show recently, and he was talking about, the aliens and the things that are happening right now. So anyway, go ahead. But that is
they have wonderful in-depth information, and I absolutely recommend them if people want to get into it. There are many subjects that I go through in the book, and I always recommend, it gets to biblical prophetic wars. Go to Bill Salish. That is not my area, but do that. So anyway, as you go into Giant City State Park, we find the Devil's Stand Table, amazingly. The Devil's Stand Table is a unique geologic formation, and it's dominated the landscape there. The Devil's Stand Table is a large freestanding pillar of sandstone. It seemed more like the Devil's pulpit to many. So obviously they called it the Devil's Stand Table, but it exists. And the name stuck. And it's one of the most interesting, well-known geological features in Giant City State Park. Now, this unique rock pillar stands. It's at an elevation approximately 75 feet above the surrounding terrain. And it also has one of the longest durations, believe it or not, at 2 minutes 41.5 seconds. And in comparison, when you get into the technicalities and the durations, it is important to get as close as you can. And those durations are, there's first a predicted duration, okay, and people will look at that. But after the eclipse, there is a adjusted duration, and that's actually the true duration. So some people will quote certain durations, and they based it on the predicted rather than the actual corrected, and that is corrected based on the lunar limb, because the moon isn't completely spherical. And so based on its topography, you change the, you have an adjusted duration of the locations, the duration of their eclipse. So when you look at the Devil's Stand table, to me, how can we deny that the United States hasn't become the Devil's Stand table? Yeah. You know, it's pretty obvious to me. And we are the location of, you know, the UN. But the things that we've been doing as a nation, that's how I see it. Now, all these things take place. I'm sure many people have heard this, and it's true that they do occur in an area in Illinois called Little Egypt. And that's very interesting. Maybe some people don't know why it was called Little Egypt. And the name is due to this imminent disaster that was going to take place in Illinois in 1831. In northern Illinois, they had a deep snow, killing frost. And so therefore, they couldn't plant their corn until late, which put it back. So when harvest time came around, they had another killing frost and early freeze. And so that continued for 1 or 2 years, and they were going to starve. So they traveled down to southern Illinois for grain. So that's how that area got the name of Little Egypt. But you can see a type of template. It's very similar to being that it's in Egypt. I see the eclipse being that it's 2017 to 2024 is a 7-year period. And then we have the 2024 eclipse. And I see it as possibly a 7-year. I mean, it could be 2, it could be longer, but you have the 7 and the 7. And you have Joseph who, in interpreting Pharaoh's dream, he said there were going to be 7 years of preparing and 7 years of famine. And that's true. They had to store grain for those years of famine. I see it here. Yeah, if you want to prepare, because we do have food shortages and it's likely that we will in the future. But more importantly, we need to prepare spiritually. We need to prepare. You know, we prepare for everything else, but we don't prepare for eternity.
Yeah.
And we need to focus on that, because not only may there be food shortages, but most of all, I think we're going to see a famine of spiritually, you know, because of the trajectory of this United States. So I definitely see a comparison there. And another thing that Joseph explained to Pharaoh in Genesis 41:32, and the dream, this is Joseph, he said, and the dream was repeated or doubled to Pharaoh twice, because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. So here we have this 2017 eclipse going over these crossover points. And then we have the 2024 eclipse. So it doubles again. This is going to occur in the path of totality during the crossover point with these same locations in 2024. So we do have a doubling. So I think that's something, you know, to pay attention to.
Hope you enjoyed today's show. Listen to see the entire Tipping Point show. Go to endtimes.com. Become a subscriber for $7 a month. Love to have you as a subscriber. But I hope that this information has been helpful to you. And listen, you can give to us on endtimes.com. You can go and you can give a donation one time. You can give a recurring donation. We need your support to keep this ministry going and to reach out to as many people as we possibly can. First of all, to lead them to Jesus Christ, but also to give comfort and encouragement to people in the very difficult times that we're living in. People need biblical truth and Bible prophecy to help them to contextualize the things that are happening in the world. The world's crazy right now, but the Bible tells us exactly what to expect, and that's comforting because Jesus Christ is coming. Thank you for joining me today. Go to endtimes.com to become a subscriber and also to give to the ministry. God bless you.